married? Kind of, sort of. All right. We seen our float go by, and it was very nice, very attractive, and a lot of good singing on there. So those of you that got to go, I know you enjoyed it. Stand together with us. We're going to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have a few testimonies. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, we're thankful, Lord, once again for the privilege we have of being in the house of God. We're thankful, Lord, for your presence that is already with us, for you have assured us, Lord, in your word that you'll always walk beside us. You'll be with us, and Lord, that you'll help us through every situation. We just pray, God, tonight that you bless this service. We pray, Lord, for the anointing of God upon Brother Chase as he ministers to us. May the word of God come alive in our hearts and our spirits. And Lord, may we just open our hearts to you and receive all that you have for us. We pray, God, that there will be some great things that will be done. And Lord, that testimonies will be forthcoming, Lord, of the things that God has done in our presence. We're thankful again, Lord, for this privilege. And we welcome you in this house. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Who has a testimony tonight? All right. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Good.
Did you feel that?
Praise God. Amen. Amen. You know, this brother brings a good point, and I want to remind you of this because it's important that you remember. People are watching you. Once you tell them and profess Christianity and that you're a child of God, people watches you a whole lot more than listens to you. The things that you do, they see, they acknowledge, and it's important that we live the life before them because, you know, we're the only Bible that some people ever read. Amen. They watch your life. You know, I was a member of the Bridgeport Volunteer Fire Department for 20 years. I just retired just a few months ago. And I was their chaplain from the time I first went on as a fireman. They elected me the next meeting as fireman, as a chaplain. And so our first Christmas party that I went to for the fire department, the first year I noticed there was a lot of drinking and cursing and carrying on. And so the next year I didn't go. The next year I didn't go, and finally my chief come to me and he said, hey, he said, you've missed the last 2 years' Christmas party. And I said, yes, and I'll miss the next one too. He said, why? I said, because I don't care about all your drinking and cursing. I said, that's not Christmas as far as I'm concerned. And I said, that's not what I'm looking for, and that's not what I'm on the fire department for. I said, I'm here to help people. And I said, I won't be there, so don't look for me. Well, the next year rolled around, and about 3 weeks before Christmas, chief came to me and he said, hey, preacher. I said, what? He said, would you do me a favor? And I said, what? He said, would you come to our Christmas party? And I said, why would I come? He said, because I've talked to all the other guys and said, we want you there so bad. We're not going to do any drinking, any cussing. We want you to open it with prayer. Amen. Praise God. And I went and followed after that. And they took all of that out. Not because that they seen me as something special, but they realized I served a great God. Amen. Praise God. And so it's important that you lead people. And what this brother's talking about is important that others see Jesus through you. Amen. Somebody else got a testimony? Praise God. Come on. Come on. Yes, right here. Right here. No, you got to come up here.
Okay, well, for those of you that didn't know, Jordan and I are pregnant and we're having a baby in June. So we're very excited about that. And actually, talking about that, whenever I first found out I was pregnant, I kind of hit a low point, getting worried about, you know, miscarriage, whatever it may be, the health of the baby and stuff. And it was actually one Thursday night during praise and worship, and conviction just kind of hit me like a truck. You know, you just feel it deep down in your gut. And, you know, whenever we decided to have this baby, we prayed that if that was the Lord's will, then he has it. That's his way. And so it kind of hit me. I was thinking, he gave me this baby. He gave me what I asked for. And I'm sitting here living in fear, worrying about what's to happen, and he already blessed me. He already said it's done, and so we're just thankful and we're blessed, and yeah.
Praise the Lord. Somebody else?
You better use this mic too.
Oh my gosh. Good gospel chant. Well, likewise, the same way, we just found out last night that we're going to have a baby. So, yeah,
we're going to have a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's been a struggle because we found out we were pregnant earlier in the year and we lost a child. And it was very difficult because I know I felt that while we were here in church one Sunday that the Lord was speaking to me, told me I was going to have a son, like clear as day. And then a week later we found out we were going to have a baby. And then when we found out those complications and they didn't find a heartbeat, it was a very trying time for both of us. And it was a fear of hers that she would lose the baby from the beginning, and you know, what happened. But through that, God has trained us both that he has a plan, and he's faithful. You know, he's faithful. Even in our tears and doubts and worries, God is faithful. He's true. He sends people around you to strengthen you during those times. And even in times of the worst fears, the things that you face, that you don't want to face, God strengthens you through that in ways that you'll never know. He's doing things. He uses these trials and tribulations as times of testing our faith. And he says that it's more precious than gold. It's refined through fire. And you don't know it until you go through the fire. That you look back and say, man, God, you're right. You're true. You're faithful. And then he blesses you again. And he's like, okay, Lord, why did I ever doubt? You know, why do I even doubt? You're God. You can't deny yourself. So we're just blessed. We're thankful. And I want Kristen to say something, too, because I know she's got more on her heart than I do.
I'm just thankful. And I just want to say that this time I feel completely different. I'm not going to fear, because there's nothing to fear with God's perfect love. And I'm just so thankful that we have another blessing from the Lord.
Growing the church one by one.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. You know, I just want to say something real quick here. I told Josh and Kristen last night, they came over and shared this with us, and we were excited. We've kind of adopted them as our children, too, along with Jenny and Randy and Kristen's mom and dad. But, you know, we were talking about the fact that they lost this first baby, and I said, let me tell you something. And I said, you know, the shepherd sees things from the other side of the mountain. And I said, even though it was difficult and you lost the baby and it was a horrible, terrifying situation for you, I said, you know, God can see further in the future than we can. And I said, God knows everything about us, and he knows the reasoning behind the situation. And I said, maybe God kept you from going through something that would even be worse had that baby have lived. But now then, we have a new start. And we're believing God that this baby is going to grow to maturity. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're excited for him. Praise God. And just to kind of let you know, I've become TD to Kristen. If you wonder what that means, that stands for Texas Dad. Amen. And my wife has become Mama Hen. And if you hear Mama Hen or TD around, you'll know they're talking about us. Amen. But we're excited for him. Amen. We're excited about all the things God is doing here in the church. Amen. Brother Chase.
You know my name. I am your sister-in-law. Okay. Bear with me. Okay. Saturday will be the anniversary of my son who passed away. And me and my husband are living testimonies that no matter what happens, no matter what you lose, no matter what the devil comes to take from you, that he will restore it. He can heal your heart. He can push you through the day when you feel like you can't. And I just want everyone in here to know how blessed you are, because every day we go through things and we miss it, that, you know, you're healthy, your children are healthy, no one's in the hospital. You know, there are so many blessings that we miss every single day that we weren't promised to have. And I would just encourage each and every one of you to thank God for what you do have, because we weren't promised any of it.
Thank you, Emily. Amen. Somebody else? Somebody else got a testimony? Justin's got one? Come on, Justin.
I don't really know where to start, man. It's this whole journey since I got saved is been unreal. Like when people say that your eyes were open, your eyes really get open and you see, like what she was just talking about, the blessings. And I was actually thinking today that I wanted to share a testimony, but it was about my mother, and she's not here right now. But, man, I just want to – my mom did dope for 30-something years, 30 years, and she was about to walk out of her camper, and there was a preacher on TV, and she stopped and watched the preacher on TV, and then she called me and was like, oh, my gosh, I know what Jesus did. And I was like, what? You know, you didn't know that? But my whole life, she thought that she was this godly woman. My whole life, she would all, you know, all these things, she thought she was headed to heaven. And it just showed the power of God that somebody that was on methamphetamines for 30 years, 33 years, like that, boom, delivered. No NA, no rehab, Jesus, that's it. In the matter of seconds, and she's not, she was bat crazy, people. Like, I mean, I'm telling you, schizophrenic psycho, and yeah, he knows her, and I mean, boom, completely changed. So, I mean, that's what the Bible talks about with regeneration and renewing the mind. So that, you know, that's all I got. So hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
All right. Who's got one? Dustin. Come on, Dustin.
There she is. There she is, right?
I just shared a testimony about you.
There she is.
There she is. Mine's short and sweet, but it's meant the world to me. Of course, I found the Lord and quit drinking, quit partying, cussed like a sailor, quit doing that. But my testimony is going to be my dad over here. You know, we've always been in and out of church and thought we were saved, and we've held our faith to, we said that prayer when we were 10 years old, you know. And I started coming to U-Turn, and it changed me, and I guess my dad saw that. So he joined me one night, and ever since, he's been sitting right over here with me. And I see the change in him, starting in him, and I'm just going to be side by side with him, and we're going to grow together. So.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So I just think this brother needs some just recognition. Sean here, man. Come up here. Man, this guy went, we knew each other way back and did a whole bunch of sinful things, of course. But since they let me move into their house, they, you know, he was kind of back and forth with the Lord, and then one week he just didn't believe in God all of a sudden. and then he started reading his Bible, pushed through it, knew that he was supposed to, you know, just get in the Word. He knew, you know, that it was a work of Satan. So, man, this guy, he's came a long way in a short time. Just got a heart of gold, you know, for helping people out. He's done a lot of things that some of y'all might not know, but he's donated a lot of things for some things here. So just wanted to recognize him. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I guess my biggest thing about coming here is people here. I've learned that it doesn't matter. I don't care how crazy you think you are or the stuff that you've done. I don't care where you came from. If you come and you do what you're supposed to do and you get in the Word of God, I don't care where you come from, what you've done in your life, there ain't nothing that He can't deliver out of you. Amen. You know? Amen. I've done way more bad things in my life than I deserve God's love for, but He'll still give it to you. You just have to serve Him and get in the Word of God and just don't quit. I mean, I've had people come at me and try to get me down and try to drag me back away from it, but if you just stick with it, and stay in the Word of God, you can do anything that you want to do, and you can change from wherever you came from. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned here, is that it don't matter where you came from, you can always change.
Amen. How many believes that? Say praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter what you've done, no matter how far down the road you've been, you can always come back to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are y'all ready to sing? I want y'all to do one thing for me. Everybody look this way. Do one thing for me before we turn it over to the praise and worship team. Would you do that? Check your lip sense.
Did you check yours?
Amen. I'm always after Michaela about that lip sense. Praise the Lord. I told Sean the other day, watch her. She'd be out there putting it on them cow's lips. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our praise and worship team is here. Give them a hand tonight for doing such a good job on the float. And for all those who worked on the float this week and put that together, you've done a fantastic job. Give them a hand. Would you do that? Amen. God bless you.
Come on. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. Let me say, thank you, Brother Gary, and everybody share testimonies for y'all that know Brother Gary said it. But tonight we had a float down at the parade in Fort Worth, people walking around handing out cards and invites to church. So this has become our tradition that Chase Tackett preaches on float night, parade night. Amen. So Brother Chase is going to be bringing the word tonight. Brother Alfred's going, they're going to do about two songs, and we're going to turn it over to Chase and let him minister the gospel tonight. Y'all stand up. Y'all praise the Lord. I know we don't have as many here tonight, but we can still praise God. It don't take but two. Amen. So praise God. Go ahead, Brother Alfred. Lead her into the presence of the Lord. Hey, a couple things I want to say that I forgot to say a while ago is, number one, if you're going to Haiti, if you're here tonight, we had the meeting yesterday about the folks going to Haiti. get with my wife and turn your money in tonight, because she is going to be purchasing tickets probably tomorrow. Am I right? She will be part. We got 11 people going on the Haiti trip. Amen. So don't forget, we got to get a hold of Mike and Becky in Alabama so they can do the same thing. So we got 11 people going on the Haiti trip. So get with Clover tonight after service and turn your Haiti mission trip money in for that. Praise God. And then number two, we're going to do our offering during this next song. So if you're giving by check, you can make it out to U-Turn World Ministries. If you're giving cash, just put it in an envelope. There's an envelope on the seat in front of you. Bring it down, drop it in. Thank you. I was worried about that, Brother Chris. I thought you was going to keep it. But you do, man. You are a true man of God. You are saved. You had to fight it, didn't you? Praise God. If you're giving by internet, God bless you. Thank you. Go to the Donate Now button. All of you that give by internet, our internet viewers are growing, and our offerings on internet are growing. Praise God. And y'all be praying for our internet viewers. We're averaging about 1,800 to 1,000 views per service, amen, that are watching. So praise God. So y'all know how we do it. Make it out to UTWM. Bring it down. Drop it in the bucket and dance on your way back. Praise God. Lifting their hands up, shouting hallelujah. Amen. Hey, was y'all throwing the candy hard? I remember last year, Brother Gary was on that float, and some of them kids that had that candy, that hard candy, they were sitting on that float, and I heard stuff going zoom. I was on my motorcycle, and I was like, what is that? Somebody's shooting at us. I was like, man, we are being the persecuted. Zoom. And all of a sudden, man, I looked back, and it was them kids had them butterscotch and everything. They was humming them things. Wow, boy, if they'd had their mouth open and went in their mouth, down their throat, and right into their gut, they wouldn't even had a chance to unwrap it. I said, hey, toss. That worked for about the next 40 feet. Amen. Hey, tonight, I forgot to tell y'all a while ago, but tonight, if y'all smell that food when you walk in, there's chili back here. Amen. Chili in here that Miss Hannah made. So hang around. If you worked on the float, if you was in the parade or whatever, if you're here, hang around and eat some chili after service. Amen. So praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everybody that helped with the float. Lord, we thank you for everybody that went out and walked and supported the ministry through being there with the float and everything. Everybody that helped build it, put it together. Becky and Emily, who coordinated it all, thank you so much for that. And Lord, bless this offering, Lord. Increase it not only on behalf of the giver, but behalf of the receiver also, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name, Lord. And as our brother Chase ministers the word tonight, Father, I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost be upon him, yes. Father God, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. And amen. Come on up. Amen. Y'all give Brother Chase a big hand. Woo! Brother Chase, he's a...
Amen.
He's one of our deacons here at U-Turn World Ministry, and I just say this, I've really enjoyed getting to know Brother Chase, man that loves the Word, man that knows the Word, man that speaks the Word, amen. And it's just good to have somebody like that. I probably talk to Chase, if not every day, at least every other day. Amen. And just always calling, you know, wanting to know this, asking about this, asking about that. He's also the one that heads up the Young Adults Fellowship from 18 to
29.
18 to 29.
Yes, sir.
So there's a bulletin on the board every Sunday up here about it, and they meet, is it the second and fourth?
Well, it's every other weekend.
Every other weekend every other at their house. So if you're 18 to 29, amen?
Amen.
18 to 29, then they meet every other weekend at their house. And if you're 27 and your husband's 35, then you got to leave your husband at home. Amen?
Amen.
I'd come by yourself.
Leave Dell at home.
So praise God. So, Brother Chase, bring us the word tonight, amen. My brother. Well, God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Kevin. How's everybody doing tonight? Amen. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. It's awesome, man, to be able to even have this honor. As I look back on some of my life and some of the things that I'd done before Christ, as Sean was saying, no matter where you come from, no matter what you do, you get in the Word, you abide in Christ, and you can do all things through Christ. Amen. And I can look back and to see where I was when Christ came unto me and to where I am today, man. It's nothing but the mercies and the grace of God, and that alone. In me dwells no good thing. I received somewhat of a revelation, and I receive more every day that there resides in me no good thing at all. Absolutely nothing. In this flesh is to say there is nothing in me good at all. There is nothing at all. This is Chase up here maybe bringing the word, but without Christ, I'm absolutely nothing. And if we don't, amen. In John 15:5, he says very clearly, apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't produce fruit. We can't do anything apart from him. And I'll tell you, when I first got saved, man, a little bit of my testimony, which is what I'm going to be hitting on tonight, and other testimonies and the power of it, but just to hit on it a little bit, when I first got saved, you know, man, Christ came to me. I received a revelation, kind of like Paul. He received the revelation of the cross. And, man, when I received and I gained knowledge of salvation through Christ and Christ alone, well, with much knowledge, you know, it can puff you up. And in that, but backing up, I'd received such a great revelation. I knew Christ died for me. I knew Christ loved me. I knew that I needed to repent unto salvation. I knew these things, and so I did. And when Christ came unto me and he made me a new creature, I received such a great revelation. And the things started to abound in me, the knowledge and revelation of God. And I started to grow, but then there was a time that I had to go through what the book of Peter calls a season of heaviness. I had gone into a part of... See, I believe there's a testimony unto Christ, and then I believe there's the greatest testimony is when you come from Christ and you go with Christ. I believe that you get a testimony unto God, and then when you receive Christ, then there's even a greater testimony to follow. And in that, I had to go through many seasons of a season of heaviness. I had to go through some things to bring me low and to show me that, again, in me resides no good thing at all. And in me, apart from Christ, there's nothing in me at all that can gain any righteousness, that can gain anything for the kingdom of God. It is Christ in me. Galatians 2:20 tells me very clearly that I have died and Christ has to live in me. And I live this life by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So in that, I say that apart from Christ, you're nothing. Amen. So that, I don't know where we were leading there besides that. Amen. So getting into it, I called this, this little message here. I asked the Lord, I said, well, if I call this something, what do I call it? And it's the power of your testimony. We all have a testimony, you know, and before Christ, I mean, I believe it's the blood of the Lamb of God. It says in Revelation, it's by the blood of the Lamb we've overcome, and it's only by his shed blood. Without it, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness, there is no overcoming, period, that and that alone. But before I came to Christ, let me tell you, I thought I had a testimony. Man, there's many times I'd get thrown into one of them self-help programs, and they'd, okay, Chase, what have you been through? You're an addict. Once an addict, always an addict. What have you done? Well, I'm an addict. And I'd speak this garbage over my life, and that's exactly what I would do. They'd get you to confess that your name is whatever, and that you are an addict, and you always will be because it's a disease of the mind. And so that was my testimony. And no matter what I did, I always glorified my past. And everything that you did out there in the world, you glorified anything that you come through. No matter how much dope you'd done, how many bottles of alcohol you'd gone through, how many women or men that you'd been with, no matter what it was, you always, well, I did this, did that, did this. But in it, you were always glorifying something that you'd come from. It was a testimony. But I noticed that it wasn't really a testimony until I died and Christ lived. And that alone, that was it. I had to come to the end of myself and see when Chase hit rock bottom. For me, it took absolute. Part of my testimony is that it took me rock bottom. I know some other testimonies in here that you had to get to rock bottom. And when Chase hit rock bottom, just like Paul says, did you not know that that spiritual rock in the desert was actually Christ Jesus? When Chase hit that rock, I realized that that spiritual rock was Christ Jesus. I had to get to rock bottom, and Jesus says, if you'll fall upon the rock and not let the rock fall upon you, it will not grind you to powder. I fell upon the rock only to realize that that rock was Christ Jesus, and that is part of my testimony right there. I had to come to rock bottom. I had to come to that realization. Now we move on and we start to grow in Christ, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but for many, even after coming to Christ, and he says, you abide in me and I'll abide in you, and he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, and he says, you're more than conquerors through him who loved you. We in him have overcome. We still face adversity as of today. We are still on this in this world. Jesus says, you're in this world, but you're no longer of this world. We will face things that are to come. There is things that will come. I'm not speaking it over you. Don't speak that over my life. I'm not speaking it over your life. Jesus says you're going to face trials and persecutions, even for his name's sake. Even for his name's sake. Now, you disobey. Guess what? My Bible also says you're going to be corrected. If you're truly his, if you're truly his, and you do have a father whose name is God, through Jesus Christ, you will be chastened. You will be corrected. So your disobedience, now you're going through things on this earth, and you're going, well, poor, pitiful, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? What's going on? Well, you disobeyed, and God is bringing you to a point. He's allowing, or he's sending out a storm over your life to draw you to repentance. Well, God don't send out storms. Read the book of Jonah. He sent it out over a man that departed from him to possibly and hopefully bring him to his knees into repentance. See, God sends out things over your life or allows things to take place in your life in hopes not to just kill you and send you on to eternal darkness. He sends you these things to hope that you will repent and come back to him. And in many times, this can be the case. If you want to disobey God, if you want to continue to do your own thing and your own will and go on your own way, he's going to continue, but do not harden your hearts. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Obey the voice of God and do not harden your hearts today. Do not continue to allow your heart to get hardened. Come back to Jesus. Just as he said that no matter what, Sean said it, you can go through things, but you know what? God's always there to forgive you if you'll repent. If you'll repent, if you'll repent, let me tell you, if you repented, did you hear me? If you repent and you come back to Christ, you cannot continue to live in the same stuff. You love God, but you don't keep his commandments. You're a liar. And that's clearly what the Word of God says. So as I get back on track here, we go back, and as I'm saying, as you're walking in Christ and you're going through certain things, you may be preaching the gospel, you may be growing and just doing some things behind closed doors with the Lord, you may be growing, you may be abounding in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but then there's some things, adversities that come against you, whether it be for disobedience or whether whatever it may be, whether the Lord just allows something to come into your life and knock you off a track to show you where you need to be and where you need to grow, because he does that too. John 15, read it very clearly. He says, my Father prunes. Amen. So this is what happens, is that when we get to this point and we start to see these things that are coming against us, do we buckle up? Do we fall? Do we fail? Because we know what to do on the mountaintop, but we don't know what to do when the valley comes. We don't know what to do in the valley. Well, Jesus is the lily of the valley, and he is on top of the mountain as well. He is the God of the mountaintops, and he's also the God of the valley. So we got to get back to that point. If you want to overcome, the word tells you how you're going to overcome. Satan comes not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, Brother Kevin, slow me down if I'm speaking too fast. If my wife was here, she'd be going. Amen. So, man, we all have a testimony. Amen. I was telling my wife just the other day, she didn't laugh at it because she didn't think it was funny. She normally laughs at everything I say. The only other person that laughs is Clover, and I think she's normally laughing at me rather than laughing with me. But I love her. She's like my spiritual mom, and she's awesome. I love Brother Kevin and his family. I love all you guys. But there's only a few people that laugh at my jokes, and there happen to be a couple of them. But and besides my wife, she laughs at everything. But, man, I was telling her just the other day, I said, babe, I think I'm going to, you know, speak on the power of your testimony out of Revelation. I'm going to do this and do that. And I said, because, you know, because she didn't know me from my past, but I said, I should have already been dead. Yeah, my family should have had my funeral ceremony, you know, but instead of having a funeral ceremony, I got me a testimony. Amen. And she was like, whatever. So now she's not here tonight. My son is sick, so I don't know. I don't know if she chose to show up or if she stayed home or what. I don't know, but apparently, hopefully, she's watching on the internet. So I love you, and y'all be praying for Zacharias, man. Something's got over him. He's sick. He's not feeling well. I took him to the doctor today, but by the stripes of Jesus, he's healed. We're going to believe it, and he's going to continue to walk in it. Amen. So we go on. We go through trials, and we go through some things, and we wonder. We keep getting to a certain point to where Satan just keeps hitting us, boom, keeps hitting us, boom. Depression's coming our way. Maybe once we thought that the Lord had completely delivered you, but now all of a sudden something's rising up in you that, see, let me tell you, some of my anxiety, the biggest part of my testimony, for me, not the biggest part, I mean, he saved me from death, hell, and the wrath of God, but what some of my smallest segments of what I can pull out and say, hey, look, the what I've ministered on the most is my anxiety. I've come upon many people who've come out of the drugs and the alcohol that were attacked hard with anxiety, and people that never were truly on drugs and alcohol that were just really bound up by anxiety. I've been there. I know what it is. It's a demon from hell. I'm telling you, it is, and it can bind you up. I'm telling you, anxiety is, it's very controllive. I was, controllive, I don't know if that's a word, but it sounds good. And again, if my wife was here, she'd be like, no. But I love her, man. She's my helpmate, for real. She rebuke, and then she'll exhort. But man, it can be, it can be controlling. And you know, I was bound by anxiety, man, since I was probably about 12 or 13 years old. I was diagnosed with anxiety. I got an anxiety disorder, and I was taking all this medication, antidepressants, anti-anxiety, and one of my biggest, for me, again, the biggest part were Christ. I mean, the Lord delivered me from drugs instantly. Who was in here telling somebody a story earlier? Instantly. I mean, it wasn't 30 years, 33 years. That's wild, Donna. But praise God for deliverance. Amen. 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 Complete deliverance. But that's what happened. I get thrown in a jail cell. I'm coming off of heroin. I'm coming off. I'd been drinking. I hadn't taken the whiskey bottle away from my lips until I got arrested that day. And I was going through withdrawals. But the moment that Christ came unto me, complete deliverance. There was nothing there. There was no desire, but only a hunger for the word, and that alone. And that's what it was. But the anxiety continued on, and I continued to take pills even in the jail. And when I got out, and I remember I was going through my last little pack. It was a pre-pack from the jail, and it was some it's a narcotic. It was some drugs that slowed me down and make me a little loopy and not sober-minded. And I've been saved for about 2 or 3 weeks now, and I said, Lord, this is my last pill. It was the next morning, and it was the next pill. I took my pill, and no anxiety for that day. You know, I woke up with it, had horrible, I mean, literally my pulse, my heart rate used to be 170 to 190 beats a minute, and that was normal. 170 to 190 beats a minute. That should be able to kill somebody. I mean, it was bad. So what I did is I took my last pill, my last hope, my last thing that I could possibly rely upon. And I'm not telling anybody in here to quit taking your medication. I'm not doing that. I haven't said, thus says the Lord. Don't stop taking your medicine. Amen. I believe that there is doctors here that have been put here by the great physician, the great doctor. Amen. But there is certain things that God can heal you from as well. Amen. So anyway, I took this last pill that morning, drank my coffee with it. Amen. And went on through the whole day and nothing, but that night I cried out to God. I said, God, you see, I have no more pills. I don't have any more quacks, is what we call them, any more doctors that are going to prescribe me the pills that I need and whatnot. There's nothing else. There's no more refills. This is it. God, and what I did, I reminded myself of my testimony. I reminded him. I said, Lord, 2.5 weeks ago, you miraculously delivered me. No NA, no AA, no garbage from the bowels of hell was able to save me. No man-made wisdom, no man-made knowledge that said, choose a God of your own understanding. No man that said, hey, you've got to work these 12-step. If you work it, it'll work for you. No. I said, you miraculously delivered me. You've set me free. I said, set me free now. I said, I didn't know at the time I was pretty much putting God to the test, but I was to an extent. I was saying, God, it says right here in your word, it says that you've set me free. You come to set the captive free. I've been bound up by this since pretty much my whole life. I said, God, I have nothing to fall upon. I fall upon you. And the next day, I mean, I woke up every morning. My heart beat out of my chest. I'm telling you, man, without the Holy Ghost, I'm nothing. I dropped out of high school, all right? Lord. For real, though. For real. That's what drugs will do to you. But now look what the Holy Ghost can do, amen? Hey, don't look at me. Woo, Jesus. I'm telling you, man. My wife was here. She'd be like, oh, Lord. I love her. And But it literally beat out of my chest. I mean, I would wake up and I'd be so nervous. I would even hate to go to sleep because I knew if I go to sleep at 3 o'clock when I wake up, that pill would have worn off and I would just be just absolutely crazy. If I didn't have drugs and I was taking my prescriptions that they gave me, I would literally wake up. I would cry. I would shake. I would be on my way to work, on the way to school, wherever I was going, and it would just drive me to pieces. I literally it was horrible. It was tormenting. It was tormenting. It was another spirit. It was. it was something that I had opened up and invited in welcomely. I had willfully done, not willfully, but at the time when I was blinded, all the drugs and all the doors that I'd opened to the enemy. This is what takes place. This is what's going to happen. And so as all these doors would open and I'd allow anxiety to come in, I would wake up, and there were so many times my mom would rush me to the hospital because I would have to sit down. I'd be blacking out because my heart would beat so fast. I would go to school just high on pills because that was the only thing that could keep my heart rate at a normal level. I lowered my heart rate at one point that I almost died, well, several times. I lowered my heart rate so much, 8-9 beats a minute probably, to where I literally would just sit there and I'd shake, and it was bad. There's been times I'd overdosed on drugs, pills, because I just wanted my heartbeat to beat normal. That's all I wanted. I sought out drugs. I threw everything, women, drugs, whatever I could to get my fix and to get myself back to being a good person or to be feeling good. And that's exactly what I did. But that night when I cried out to God, I said, Lord, you've set me free from drugs. You've set me free from alcohol. 2.5 weeks ago, about a month ago, I truly believed, Lord, that I was going to die. I believed that I was going to overdose, but you have set me free. I know you'll set me free tonight. The next morning I woke up, and for the first time in about 10 and 11 years, my heartbeat was normal. It was completely normal. It was. Every time I went to the doctor, my blood pressure was just sky high. At my pulse, the doctors would look at me and be like, is everything all right? Yeah, I'm good. You just a little nervous because you're at the doctor? No, it's just me. Well, your pulse is 184 beats a minute. I just, I'm okay. Just I need my medication. Let's get on the road. And that's how it was. Within a few days after receiving that deliverance right there, I mean, I went to the doctor, and I'd never had normal vitals at all. And he was like, 123 over 79 or something like that. And I was like, okay. And they're like, healthy as an ox. In fact, you're probably the most healthiest patients I've had in here in years. He said your pulse rate was like, I don't know, I think it was like 69 or 70 or something. And I was like, what? I've truly died and Christ truly lives in me. I had truly been set free. And I knew it for once in my life that nothing on earth was going to be able to just continue to bind me up. If the Lord has set me free, if the Son has set me free, I shall be free indeed. And if I continue in His Word, I will be His disciple, He says. If I continue in His Word, then I'm His disciple. And that me knowing the truth shall set me free. It will make me free. But only, like He said, if you continue in His Word, if you continue to walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus. That way we have overcome. It cleanses us from all sin, all unrighteousness, if you confess, if you repent. And that was, man, it was awesome to me to see that. And that was just some of my testimony. And it was awesome getting to open this service up tonight with testimonies. You know, it was just a little confirmation when people started coming up and I started listening, the confirmation of the word that the Lord had given me tonight. I believe that there is people in here, and the Bible, I believe there's people in here going through things. I do. The Lord hadn't told me that there's 14 different people in here that are doing this. I'm not saying all that. I just know that there's people in here going through it because the Bible says that you will be. There is certain things that you're going through. You may have overcome in this area, but you're having trouble in this area. And the Bible says that the same thing that you're going through, the same afflictions are being accomplished in your brother across the world. So the same things that you're going through that you will overcome through Christ is going to be able to help that brother across the world that you don't even know yet. I'm telling you that whatever Lloyd's going through, when he overcomes, he's going to be able to help Miss Donna out over here, or vice versa. God uses this as iron sharpens iron. Hallelujah. And that's what we do as the body of Christ. We rebuke, we exhort, we encourage, we uplift, and that's what we do. We share our afflictions and we show where Christ is, or where Christ has brought us from, where we were and where we are today. And that's how I opened it up. I said, this is where I once was and where Christ has brought me to today. And it's only by the grace and the mercies of God. And that alone. I know several people in here that were literally hanging over the bowels of hell with a string. My brother Clayton over there was one of them. I know without a shadow of a doubt there's other people in here. Brother Justin, Cody, there's people in here that were literally hanging over the bowels of hell with a string. But Christ reached out and said, no, I have chosen you and I've ordained you. I've set you. Come forth. Amen. So, you're going through things. The Bible tells us, if you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Amen. The book of Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 11. And it's back up to verse 10. John's writing, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren, who? The accuser of the brethren, Satan, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And when they and they overcame him, who? We, they, have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Now, I've heard, and there's a lot of scriptures, but they're partial truth. What do I mean? That many people will read Romans 8:1, and it's only a partial truth because their version cuts it out, or they only know part of it. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Keep reading. For those who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You got an NIV? It won't say it. NIV won't say it. King James will. And, I mean, most all of them will, but I noticed that I looked in the NIV just a few days ago, and it says those who walk, it doesn't say, but those who walk after the flesh. Those after the Spirit are now no longer under condemnation, those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You wonder why you're being condemned? Well, maybe you're walking after the flesh, because those who walk after the flesh put their minds on the things of the flesh. Therefore, condemnation can seep right on in. Well, I'm in Christ. Well, what are you doing? What are you doing? Walk after the Spirit, that you will not fulfill the desires and the lusts of the flesh. So we keep on. Now, that was one of the scriptures. But then there's also this scripture that I just read right here. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That sounds so great. But that's where we stop again. I'm not saying, I don't know, maybe the NIV has it this time. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that we stop right there. We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But we love not our lives unto death. We did not love ourselves. In fact, we laid our lives down as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service as a Christian. You call yourself a Christian, lay your body down on the altar of God. Lay yourself down. Lay down your life. Jesus says, if you love your life, if you love your life, you'll lose it. But if you hate your life for my sake, you'll find it. He says, if you hate your life for my sake, and they go, well, I got to hate myself? No, you're to love yourself, and you're to love others as you love yourself. Amen? But if you hate the things that the flesh desires, if you hate the things that this wicked heart wants so greatly, if you will start to hate these things, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Amen. I ain't got no evil in me. You're deceived. God says, in him there is no darkness. In you, he's still trying to purge and work some things out. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. I've been given a new heart. You've been given a heart of flesh where he can start to mend and to twist and to pull and to break. These are the things in which we do. And then again, John 15, he is the husbandman. He prunes. And that's where we get. And we look at this and we say, well, we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But there's nothing more to that. But we do not love our lives unto death. We have chosen to live separated unto the gospel of God. We've chosen to die to ourselves. We've chosen to, as Paul says, I die daily. There's going to be things in our lives that God points out. Do we continue in them? Or maybe God's not pointing it out at all because God's not there. So my question is, are you living in the lust and the desires of the flesh? And you're wondering, where is God? Well, I've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of his testimony, by my testimony. But are you still living in this world system? Are you still living and following after the things your flesh desires? Because your flesh still desires things. That's why the flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit wars against the flesh. You say, well, I've been made holy and acceptable and righteous. You are righteous in Christ Jesus. Do not get me wrong. You have been made righteous in Christ Jesus. But remember, without him, you're nothing. Amen. In you resides no good thing. That's what Paul says, Romans 7. Read it. So that's where we get to right there. That we've got to lay down our lives and we have to die. And you say, well, I've been made righteous, I've been made holy, and this and that, but you're still living contrary to God's word. The Bible calls you a liar. And this is why you don't have victory. This is why you're not overcoming. There's a reason you're not overcoming. There's a reason you don't have victory. One is that you don't know God. Or two, you don't know what the word of God says. And that's why there's prophets and apostles and teachers and preachers. That's why teachers have been before you to expound on the word of God and to bring it. And that you are to study to show yourself approved. Do not wait on Brother Kevin just to feed you once or twice a week. You are to read the word daily. Amen. But come to church and listen to Pastor Kevin too. Amen. Amen. Hey, he's been commanded to feed the flock of God that is among him. You are to come in fellowship with other believers. You want to? You say you're born again, but you have a problem hanging out with believers. There's something, like he says, not stirring the Kool-Aid. I don't know where that came from. I've heard don't drink the Kool-Aid, but don't stir the Kool-Aid. I don't know. It's good, though. I understand it. It's something I can comprehend. I can understand little stuff like that. Amen. So I'm going to move on. Amen. got an amen out of that one. They overcome who? I said Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Who? The accuser. The accuser, man. Satan's known as some other names, just like God is known as some other names in the Bible. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the thief. Amen. He is known as the prince of the power of the airs. I think. Yeah, prince of the power, the prince of the power of the airs. Yes. And you know what? I was just listening to the radio on the way up here, man. Women. And he said, sometimes I don't talk right. And I was listening to the radio on the way up here, and that verse came to mind. You know, if you ever think about the prince of the power of the airs, what's going on in the airs? And you start watching this TV, what is the sound, the airwaves? What's coming across the airs? You know, what's coming across the airs into you? What are you allowing to be poured into you, whether through your eyes, which is the light of the body, or whether in through your ears, amen? Whether in through your ears. Are you being slow to listen to all the garbage that's on TV and through the radio? I was just listening to one of those, you know, all them Christian stations that are out there. Hey man, I mean, the songs, they're great. They're glorifying God and everything, but then the DJ comes on. mess my worship up. I'm like, man, Lord, what's going on around here? Because the song was talking, I mean, I'm not going to sing. But the song was talking about, I want to be all about, or I want to be just like you. I want to be just like you, Lord. I was like, man, that's touching me a little bit, you know? Amen. So I'm singing with it, and then the song's over. And the very last part, he's like, I just want to be just like you. And then it ends, and the DJ comes back on. He's like, man, conviction just fell upon me. Praise God. It's like, this boy going to have a testimony. Going to preach on testimony now? Let's hear it. He's like, man, conviction just fell on me. And I don't know what that meant, because his next statement he started talking about, he said, my Christmas shopping has taught me something. And okay. He said, my Christmas shopping has taught me something. I have become more selfish, and I have become more lazy. And then he starts talking about how we need to start shopping online before we go to, I mean, he just threw it all off. And I was like, conviction from where? What conviction do you feeling? Because he went off on it, and I was starting to think, I was like, man, you are the prince of the power of the airs. The things that we listen to, guard your heart, people. The things that we listen to, the things that are being poured into our heart and to our mind, and the things that we go through in this world, that's why we need a daily cleansing. That's why we need to get in the Word daily. Be washed by the water of the Word. Amen. If you go home, I pray that most of you, I mean, maybe not all of you, but you take showers. Amen. And, you know, for those who have showers and stuff, you take a shower. Amen. And, man, for me, I like to try to get one once a day if I can. My wife's not home, two or three, four. And, but that's what we do, man. We get washed by the water of the Word. It's the water of the Word. And when we get back out there in this corrupt, nasty, possessed, satanic world, man, that's what it is. He's the God of this world. And we go back out there into this his kingdom. And we go back out there, we may be ministering, we may be working, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this. Our minds are going to get a little dirty from the things that we allow into our ears and the things in which we see. That's why we are to get into the Word. That's why we are to be washed by the water of the Word. That's why we are to be cleansed. That's why we are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Why is it called the spirit of your mind? There's other spirits out there that are wanting to attack your mind. And we must be renewed. We must see what the Father of spirits, the Lord of glory, has to say about every situation that we come in contact with. Amen? So moving on. The accuser of the brethren. He accuses them day and night before God. You've had Satan come to you, and he says, you're not good enough. He's right. You're not. But he comes to you, and he says, well, you're not worthy to do this. You cannot do this. You're not going to do this. Do you not remember what you've done? I have. Anybody innocent here? Can I? Amen. You've done this. You've done that. You've done this and you've done that. You can't escape what you've done to this woman. It's over with. How can you, Chase, get up and preach when you've done so much in your past? What are you getting up there to do when you just had that thought just the other day? What are you doing? You know, and I'm talking about this, and man, I'm telling you what, Satan tried to get up all over my business today. You know, for one, I call myself a preacher, a practicing preacher. You know, I'm not practicing to fail. I'm gonna pass, amen. But I mean, it's just, you know, Kevin's giving me these opportunities, and I'm a novice. You know, I'm still growing in the Lord. I mean, we all are. But you know, as I continue to get these little test runs here and these little trials and these what the Lord shows me, and I get to speak to the body, and I pray that it, you know, it edifies and it uplifts and it also rebukes and encourages. You know, but at the same time, I'm still a novice. I'm still growing, and I'm still looking at these things. But Satan just came up against me today, and I was like, man. He says, man. You ain't got it like Kevin does. So you're probably right there too. But Kevin says, I get to preach tonight, you know, and I'm going back and forth. And I'm like, wait, I'm just going to throw the word at you because, man, me arguing back and forth. Because at first, and then somebody trying to creep in on me and everything else, you know, and then you ain't got it like Kevin does. You're probably right. He got 15, 16 years under his belt. I got a 3 or 4, you know, that's okay. Amen. Amen. That's just the truth. That's just it. People always saying, well, I got the same Holy Ghost Kevin does. You got the same Holy Ghost Kevin does, but you don't have the spirit of Kevin. You don't. You don't. Kevin brings the word not like you do. I mean, that's just, I had to come to that. Kevin is a mighty man of God because of what Christ has done in his life, and he's yielded himself a vessel unto God. That's it. He has done it, and therefore he uses him in mighty exhorts, in mighty ways. And that's what it is. People say, oh, I got the same Holy Ghost Kevin does. I got the same Holy Ghost Chase does. Yeah, but you don't have the Spirit. We are a new creature. We are a new creation. Justin, you're a new creature. How are you a new creature? Once you've been born again, your Spirit, I like to look at it like Justin's Spirit and the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's true. They've been intertwined. That's a new creature. No one else has the Spirit of Justin Tucker. Amen? That's just the way I look at it. Amen? That's the way I look at it. So every time I got the same anointing, I got the same Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know about the same anointing. I mean, the same anointing that leads you into all truth, same anointing that led me into all truth. But you don't have the spirit of Chase. Amen. Nobody is as crazy as Chase. Amen. That's what my wife would say. But, you know, and then where was I going? So anyway, so Satan was coming against me, though. And I was just, you know, and there's some things I was like, all right, whatever. He was accusing me of some things. And I was like, man, whatever. So I'm going back and forth with the word. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I've got the authority, and Christ has defeated you. He brought you to an open shame, the book of Colossians says. He's defeated you. In fact, he made a mockery out of you at the cross of Calvary. Amen. He came and he stole the keys from you. He didn't steal them. He just came and took them out of your hand. He just said, no, give them to me. The death and hell, they're mine now. These are my keys. Amen. So he's kind of a big deal. Amen. So I'm in him and he's in me, and you're coming against me with certain things. But the weapons of my warfare, they're not carnal. I cast you down. Get thee behind me, Satan. You do not savor the things of God. This is the way we must approach. God in Christ, Jesus did the same thing to Satan. Jesus was tempted. He was touched by our infirmities. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. So when Satan came to him, we cannot live off of bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. He came against him with the word of God. And that's what we are to do. So I'm doing this, man. And I take my son to the doctor, and then we stopped at Fred's to get him some chicken noodle soup and stuff. And, man, I opened up the back door. It's, I know. Oh. Getting a little hungry? Amen. 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 Hurry up, man. So, man, it's been almost four years, guys. I've been almost 4 years, man, since the Lord found me in that jail cell, and I've been walking with Jesus Christ. And amen. But it's been almost 4 years. So in other words, it's almost been almost 4 years. You know, back in the day, I used to say, well, my clean date is this, and I've been clean for so many years. But now I'm just like, man, I'm a new creature, man. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm going forward, not trying to just keep on with the things from the past. I'm moving forward. Well, I got 472 hours and 17. I'm like, man, my goodness. You got to have some faith to keep up with that. Man, I just got born again. Amen. I've been born again, been set free by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. So but it's almost been 4 years since I've been set free from that anxiety medication. And I was telling my wife when I got home, I opened the door, right? Opened the back door to get my son out to go into Fred's, man. And I'm on the phone with my wife, and I'm doing this, and I look down, and there's a little white pill, literally, a little white pill sitting right there on the plastic. I know that's kind of crazy to be sharing in church, but, I mean, it was wild. It's the wiles of the wicked, man. It was sitting right there, I mean, between the plastic and my carpet when I opened up the door. And I kind of just backed up for a minute, and I picked it up. I turned it over, and I got off the phone with my wife, and I typed in what was on the pill, and it was a anti-anxiety medication. And I was like, you devil. And right then and there, you know, I'm kind of going through some things right now, battling my we're praying that, you know, please be believing and praying that Elijah doesn't get anything that's attached to Zacharias right now, you know. He's sick. I mean, I'm going to call it what it is. He's not feeling well. He's got a stomach bug, amen. But let's just pray that he doesn't, nothing gets attached to Elijah. So I'm going through that, and I'm thinking that, you know, and I'm like, man, Lord, don't let him get sick. And so I'm going through these things, and then I'm thinking, well, Zacharias ain't feeling good. Man, I got to go preach. I got to leave him at home tonight. Lord, just be with him. And so I'm going through a few things, you know. And then I open it up, and then Satan's like, well, you know what? Hey, heart beating a little fast, isn't it? Need a little bit of calmness in your mind? Hey, you got to preach tonight. Oh, yeah, that'll be good. You biggest hypocrite. You know, I mean, man, get up here. All right, guys, listen. And that's that, but thank God that was the thought I had. Amen. Satan, I mean, I don't even have to talk to Satan no more. I mean, a thought just combats his thought that he shoots in my mind, man. I'm just like, hey. No, I can't be getting up there acting like a crazy person like that one lady they talked about the other night, oh, Heidi. You know, I'm like, no, that ain't the spirit of God. That's the spirit of pharmakia, you know? Repent. And so I saw that, though, and that was the craziest thing. I mean, man, I got to be spitting all over this mic. Amen. I hit the target. And, man, I just said, that's crazy. Been almost 4 years. And really, to be honest, in the last 4 years, by the grace, thank you, Jesus, it's only by Jesus and Jesus alone that I've not really desired to have any drugs. I've not really been tempted. I've gone down on the streets and watched dope heads just, me and Travis seen dopers literally just pull the needle up out of their arm, and we're ministering the gospel to them. And there's never been like, you know, I haven't really had that desire. And so now I see this little bitty white pill that's ready to destroy my soul, sitting right there, just ready to take everything God's building up in me. Almost 4 years. And I look it up because I was like, it bared witness with me. I didn't know what it was, but I said, man, it sure does look familiar, man. So I said, oh, my goodness. It was the exact same medication that I gave over to God. I told him it was my last pill. Well, I found one more. But as soon as it popped up on my screen and it said, I said what it is, I said, ooh, no, not today, Satan. I said, I don't even want to just try to start speaking the word. I'm just going to go ahead and drop it, amen. Sin lies at the door. Sin lies at the door, the front door, the back door, your truck door. And amen. It lies at the door, and it literally did. I opened up my back door to get my little boy out, and there it is. He's like, hey, I desire to have you. I want to take you. I just want to take you down. And I said, man, Lord, what you going to be preaching on tonight? Amen. It's got to be something good. It's got to be something. And I do believe that, you know, and now that I see it, I mean, I know there's people going through things. I'm going through things. There's things that we go through. Amen. We are only partially redeemed. Right. We are. And there is some things, I can't explain it, that we don't necessarily ever get healed from. There is some people that wonder and they question and they ask, and we say, well, you know what? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. The Word of God does. The Word of God does. And when we look unto the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross for you. For you. So for the little afflictions and the things that come against you, how great is our God? How great is he? You know, there's little things that just bug us, that rub us the wrong way, our flesh does not like, but greater is he that is in you. Man, if you will just submit yourselves unto God, you will just submit to the Word of God. We say, ooh, that's hard, brother. No, it's really easy. We make it very hard. We do. We do. This flesh likes to rear up, and we know we're going to be blessed. We know that if we walk in it, we're going to walk in this life abundant that Christ promises us. But if we choose to go the other way, man, you're just robbing yourselves. And then you call yourself a child of God on top of that, and that's all you do is confuse everybody else and start making a heresy. I'm being real, though. I don't get it. Getting a little off subject, but we say that we're born again and say, I had somebody say that I'm saved, but I don't necessarily have to follow Jesus. Y'all are extremists. Well, I know. I go to U-turn. I'm just waiting on it. I'm waiting on it. As soon as we hear extremists, I'm like, well, U-turn's probably involved. U-turn's a little extreme. No, we just love Jesus, yeah. Yeah, we a cult. Amen. We are. Cult for Jesus. Amen. We are. We are. We are. People say, oh, you're in a cult. I am. I really am. I love me some Jesus. I do. Without the shedding of his blood, I could not be here right now. What are you talking about? Well, I believe, you know, oh, here we go. It's like Kevin says all the time, don't let the word get in the way of what you believe. Please, don't do it. Because, you know, you might be overcome by joy, love, and peace, happiness. You know, you might get born again, you know. And so, You might die. You know, you may. You don't know. Just try it out. Don't try it out. Don't try out Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. You don't try out Jesus. It's either all of Jesus or none of Jesus. You ain't going to be lukewarm. Amen. But people say, I'm saved. I'm not following him right now. I once walked with God. Well, brother, if you're not walking with God today, you can be sure that you've never walked with God to begin with. I mean, that's pretty simple. You were once a part of us, but, you know, and the book of John says, but you've gone back out. It's evidence that you were never a part of us. Amen? You were never a part of us. But they say, well, brother Chase, I'm saved. I just, you know, I'm not really following him right now. Not like you, anyway. You know, I'm not following Jesus. But John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what really, I mean, we don't even have to go deep into Scripture to even show it. Just go to John 14:6 and say, Jesus says, I am the way. So I come to a stop sign and I say, hell is this way, heaven is this way. Jesus says, I'm the only way. Come on, come on. I'm the only way, come on. I'm saved by grace through faith. I'm going to go to hell. What do you mean? Wait a minute. That don't make any sense. It's not possible. It's not there. You can profess him, but your heart be far from him. That's what it is. You confess him, but in your works you deny him. You say that I'm following Jesus and I'm heading to the Father, but really you're headed to hell. Because in your fruit, you show exactly. You say, well, no man can judge my heart. You're right. I don't know the deeps and the depths of the part of your heart, but the book of Proverbs says, just as faith answers to faith in water, so the heart to man. Amen. You can see the fruit. You can. Now, I'm not the ultimate judge. I can't stand here and say, no, you're going to hell. Because it's up to me, and I'm just what I'm going to do. But we can go on. Jesus says, I'm the way. How is he the way in your life? You say that he's the way, but you're going the opposite way. You can't judge me. Okay, the word says it clearly right here. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying Jesus says he's the way. Jesus is headed that way, but you're headed that way. Amen. So, praise the Lord. That was a little off topic, but we go through things. We go through things. Before we came to God, we weren't really necessarily going through things. We were just out there. Well, it was that lost sheep. No, you were a blaspheming enemy of the cross. That's what the Bible says. You were an enemy of the cross. You were a hater of God. But for when we were yet sinners, Christ still died for us. He gave himself for us that we would have that opportune chance to repent and come unto him and come before the cross. Amen. So we go through things here after being born again. We get set free from some things, and we start going through things. Satan comes, accuses us, and accuses us, and accuses us, and he hits us. Well, how do we overcome? The book of Revelation says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So we overcome who? Satan, the accuser of the brethren, by what? The blood of the Lamb of God. The blood of Jesus Christ. Because without it, not the shedding of water, but without the shedding of the blood, I've already said there is no freedom, there is no forgiveness, there is no remission of your sin. And that alone. We overcome him by the blood of Jesus Christ. But then by the word of our testimony. So, Chase, what do you mean there? Let's go to 1 Samuel. Oh. Go to 1 Samuel, and this will be the chapter where I finish up. What time do you end, Kevin? About 9:30 or so? Brother Seth. Amen. Brother Sessions said he'd pay me off if we could get out of here early. Martha gave me a thumbs up, so be out in 5 minutes. Amen. Don't want me Martha upset. 1 Samuel 17, sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be to the man that kills him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Now let me show you how Satan can use some people. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou those, and I can normally read King James pretty well, but, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? And he says, and so, he says, why are you coming down here? Justin, what are you doing? Why are you leaving these things that you've known your whole life behind? What are you doing? And he says, and David spake in verse 29. And he says, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down here that thou mightest see the battle. He says, you ain't doing nothing but coming down here just to receive your blessing. You just coming down here to do what you've always done. You come in here, you get right, you get cleaned up. This is the accuser of the brethren. He comes in here and he just says, you just down here, you just here worshiping the Lord for a little bit, but as soon as you get back on your financial gain, as soon as you get back up on your feet, then you're going to be right back out the doors. And just as I said it a minute ago, if you stay in and you continue, it's evidence that you're saved. But if you continue to go back out with no need or no chance or no hope or no wanting to repent, it's evidence that you were not saved. That and that alone, 1 John teaches it very clearly. But he says, you come in here and you just coming in here to watch the battle. You just coming in here to feed your flesh. You just coming in here to do what you need to do, and then you're going to go right back out there, and you're going to continue what you've always done. This is the accuser of the brethren. And he says, and David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? He's saying, am I truly not in this? And he says, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he went to him. Forgive me for all the reading, but it's the word of God. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth, saying, you're too young. He says, you don't know. You don't know how to go against what's coming against us right now. This is too big of a problem, and here you are, you youngster. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth. Do not let no man despise your youth. Amen. For you have overcome the wicked one. He goes on to say that, he says that, and right here, he says that you can't do this. This Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, he's humongous. I don't remember, Brother Kevin, do you know how tall he really was, 8 foot? Over 9 foot. Joey, how tall are you? Amen. So he's saying, Joey, you can't do this, man. You can't do it. You ain't big enough. Your carnal weapons, man, they ain't nothing, man. They ain't nothing. Chases aren't either. It's okay, man. It ain't nothing, man. You're not going to be able to do this. And David said unto Saul in verse 34, thy servant kept his father's sheep. I held unto my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and it took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. And seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. He's saying the same Lord that delivered Chase Tackett out of heroin addiction is the same Lord that's going to deliver him from that depression. The same Lord that delivered my brother Justin out of methamphetamine's addiction is the same Lord that's going to bring him through the fear that he's facing today. He's saying that if you continue on, if you continue and remember the things which God has done for you, we are to remember the victories. Do not provoke him. Do not forget as the children of Israel did. Do not forget that they forgot the wonders and the miracles of God. You get in the book of Psalms 78, I believe it is, and it talks about how they forgot the marvelous works of God, and all they could do is look forward instead of remembering what God had done for them and the past victories that they had been achieved. They forgot about their fathers had just forgotten, and they forgot about the sea that was split open for them and all the things that were done, and all they could do is, can God prepare us a table in the wilderness? Can he rain down flesh like he did the bread? Can he not do all these things for us? We start looking and we start murmuring, we start complaining when we can't remember what God has done for us and the victories that he's wrought in our life. We are to remember. But the enemy will come in saying, no, it wasn't real. This is just another one of your deals where you get set free for a time and then you simply go on and do what you want. You have that choice. You do. You do have free will and you can do that. But today, he says, this day I will serve the Lord. He says, this day, he says, if you want to follow me, he says, pick up your cross today. He says, deny yourself and follow me. It's this day. I choose every day to serve Jesus Christ. It's not a one-time prayer, as we've all been told. It's not. These silly little pastors and everybody's running around saying this 10, 15-minute little prayer after me. Paul Washer said he heard an evangelist say, give me your hand and give your heart to Jesus. They're lying to you. You say this simple little prayer, and you have no understanding of the law that's bringing you to the foot of the cross. You don't understand what you've been saved from. Therefore, you don't see a real need for a Savior. You walk back out into the world, and can you continue to bow your knee to Satan, John 8:44, because he is your daddy. Therefore, you don't know God. But if we choose to say, you know what, I'm repenting unto salvation, I'm coming to you, and we continue to live a life sold out day by day by day unto God. There's times, I'm not, and many times it sounds like I'm preaching sinless perfection. I'm not at all. There's times that many of us can sound like that, but we're not at all. We're just saying when we mess up, we ask for forgiveness. We come back to Jesus. We ask, God, forgive me, because your word says you are faithful and you are just to forgive me. I'm not preaching just perfect holiness. I'm not. Without holiness, you will not see the Lord, but you're striving for holiness. That's the difference. You're striving unto holiness. You're striving to be more like Christ. It says if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And that's what we get back to. It's the blood of Christ, the word of your testimony. So these battles that you come against, these things, like I said, the anxiety that came to me, I had to remind myself, not only the adversity and the things that are coming towards me, but I had to remind myself, just as David did here, he had to remind himself and he had to bring it forth and to speak it. And he said, hey, just the same Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the bear, he said, I slew him, I killed him, I slaughtered him. He said, I was delivered from that anxiety and therefore I'm going to go forward. He said, and the same God that delivered me here is the same God that can deliver me here. We've got to remember what God has delivered us from. And I say that again. But when we can remember what God has delivered us from, and we start to get the praying like the Bible says in the Holy Ghost, amen, we start to stir ourselves up in the most holy of faith. We start to remember what the blood can truly do to the repentant heart. We start to remember that, God, you so love the world, you so love me that even when I was in my darkest place, you love me, you laid down your life that I may have a chance to turn from my wickedness and put my faith in you, and that I follow you now, and I can overcome because of what you have done, because of the word of my testimony, and because I obey the commandment saying, lay your life down. And that's what it is. Maybe you've disobeyed it. Maybe you haven't laid your life down. Well, now's the chance to do it. Today is the day of salvation. It always is. You have this time. The book of Ecclesiastes, I saw a verse the other day. It was at Pastor Kevin's house. There was a little note on their bathroom mirror. And it said, I hope that's not too personal, but it said, it was neat. It's book of Ecclesiastes. It said, those who walk amongst the living, there is hope. And I was like, wow. And that kind of got me going. Like, as long as you got a breath in your body, you have an opportune chance to repent and put faith in Christ. Amen. Many people say, oh, no, it's too late for him. Quit praying for him. Well, you may not be able to pray for the sin like the Bible talks about, but he can still be drawn back. I do believe it. I do. For those who want to. Amen. There are the hardened hearts, those who blasphemed and all this other stuff. They don't want to come back. Have I blasphemed the Holy Ghost, Chase? Well, the evidence that you're asking me and worried about it and concerned about it is evidence that you've not blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that's where we get to. But we see that as those who walk amongst the living, those who still have breath in their lungs, there is hope. Maybe you've not laid your life down. Maybe you thought you've laid your life down, but there's never any victory. Maybe you've not laid your life down. And so you've got to examine yourself. You've got to examine yourself. You've got to examine the motives of your heart. What are you doing? Again, you're not going to be perfect because your heart's not perfect. But those who trust in Christ, amen, those who put their confidence in the Lord shall be safe. And that's what we get back to. We remind ourselves of what God has done. Don't be as the children of Israel. Don't forget what God has done in your life. Remember what God has done, and remember what God can do, the things that he promises. He says, every spiritual blessing in high heavenly places can be yours. Are you going to follow him? And that's all it comes down to, your obedience to the word of God, remembering what God has done. Do not forget. To me, it's been so many times to where I was able to simply start taking my eyes off of what Christ has done, and I'm like, Christ, what can you do now? What can you do now? Well, he's already poured out every spiritual blessing in heaven places. He's already given us the love of God through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's shed a love of God, it's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's what the scripture says. And so therefore, we walk in the newness of life because of what he has done. And now, as you've heard it said before, it's not about what he has done, but it's not about what I have done, but it's about what he's done. As Kevin has said, show me that in the Bible. But only about 50% of that, again, is true. It's true. You didn't earn your salvation. Christ died for that. Amen. But now, if you've truly received it, you're going to want to produce some works. Amen. You're going to want to produce some works. The book of James is clear. You're not working to get faith, but you're working because you got faith. Amen. Without works, this faith is dead. Why? Because you don't got it. That's just it. So therefore, tonight, the altar is open. Those that are going through things, those who are going through certain afflictions and things that you have not been able to overcome, you can't seem to figure out the way out. The Bible is clear that he says through all temptations, he has made a way. But it's up to you to step up and go that way. Maybe you've been bowing your knee to that temptation. Maybe you have been going through it time and time and time again, just like the children going around and around and around that mountain. But now tonight, God is saying, hey, you're still alive. and there's still hope. There's still hope in Christ, and that alone. You've been trying all these different teachings, these man-made programs and everything that you've done, but he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It's only the Son who sets you truly free, and I'm its living testimony of that. It's by the blood of him and by the word of our testimony, and we've chosen to lay our lives down, that we can overcome anything in our lives. It's by the blood, our word of our testimony, and by laying our lives down. We do not love our lives unto death, but we love him who laid his life down, for no greater love than this, than Jesus lay his life down for one who is undeserving, unworthy. So therefore, examine yourself. Do you love God? And if you love God, are you obeying him? Amen. So with that, I'm going to close. I don't know how you want me to close. I need to call you back up. You want to? Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.
Good job, Chase. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You know, I want to read something that is Chase, and he leaned to this. And in Genesis 4:6, put Genesis 4:6 and 7 up there if you could, Stephanie, please. Genesis 4:6 and 7. As he was talking about the pill actually being at the door, did y'all turn it off too soon? Oh, that was quick. Genesis 4:6 and 7 says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? 4:7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now what we see here right now says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. Right here, the Spirit of God in the book of Genesis calls sin a person, his desire. Let's look at it again. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. As the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Ghost, operates in your life, the person of the Holy Ghost operates in your life to free you from the bondage of sin, there is another person operating in the life of the disobedient, and that person is sin. His desire is for you. Now, what is God doing here? It says, and unto thee shall be his desire, thou shalt rule over him. We are to rule over him. Who is that? Him being sin. Put the next verse up, please. And Cain killed, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. God was doing everything he could to turn Cain away from what he was about to do. He did everything but personally grab him by the neck and turn him the other way. God is warning him because Cain had already had the attitude about the offering, because Abel's offering was accepted and his wasn't. And when his countenance fell, when he became angry, when he became upset, God come to him. He said, hold on, look at your attitude. Look where you're headed right now. Check your heart. Check your attitude. He said, but sin's lying at your door. Listen to what I'm saying. Sin's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. And with the attitude you got right now, you're not going to be able to overcome him. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. And with the attitude that you've got, the distraught and the upset and the mad and the angry and the gossiping and the tailbearing and the backbiting and the murmuring and complaining, when you walk out of this door, what's lying at the door waiting on you, you will not be able to overcome it. Listen to me. And he didn't listen to God, and he walked out and he killed his brother. Sin lies at your door. sin lies at my door. Sin was lying at his door in the form of that little pill. You better be ready when you walk out of here. Sin lies at your door, but you are to rule over it. Hallelujah. You are to rule over it by the power of the blood of the Lamb of God, for whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Great word tonight, Brother Chase. Thank you, brother. Great word, great word, great word, great word. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't ever let the enemy compare you. We all do that. You know what I wish at times? I'm going to tell you just straight up. You know what I wish at times? I wish I could just go up there and talk without getting so wound up and blowing my voice out. But you know what? There's people in this world that I'm going to reach because of the way I preach. And there's people in this world you're going to reach because of the way you preach. And there's people that Brother Gary's going to reach because of the way we are all a part of the body, each having our part. Amen. So don't you ever let the day. You did a great job tonight, my brother. I'm proud of you. Amen. Great job. And next Thursday night, we got Associate Pastor Brother Chris. He'll be preaching next Thursday night, 1 week from tonight. Amen. We're leaving. Y'all give Chris, always brings a great word. And we'll be leaving me, Travis, and the guy, the leader. You know, the refuge, the guys that come sometimes on Thursday. I've been doing Bible study over there every Wednesday with them. And that gentleman, Adam, he's really come to me. He said, man, I need your direction. I need your help. And basically now we're getting to pastor that whole group over there. Amen. And giving them direction and helping them out with their home. He come to me as a humbly saying, we need your help. Help us. So anyway, we've been going over there, and I went over Wednesday, been past 3 or 4 weeks going over leading a Bible study, and then went over yesterday and led a Bible study and went back last night and preached over there. And now, man, God's moved on him in such a way. Me, Travis, and the leader of the refuge will be headed to Mississippi on Tuesday, and we're going to go down there and preach the gospel in Mississippi. Amen. So y'all be praying for us. We'll be in Mississippi Tuesday, and we'll be back. We'll leave on Tuesday, and we'll be back on Friday. And for you, those of y'all that remember, this is where the Spirit of God moved in such a mighty way upon these young people. You ain't the only one that had a hard time talking. You ought to hear me. Amen. We got the same anointing, my brother. We had some people. One time I was leading a small group at a church that I was in. And this lady, there was a lady from Africa there. And she never would say anything. And she'd sit there, and I finally looked at her one day. She never would say nothing. And finally, I said, why don't you ever say anything? She goes, oh, my English is so bad. I said, have you not heard mine? She looked at me, and she goes, that's pretty bad, too. I couldn't shut her up after that. Amen. But I'll tell you what, but we're going down, so y'all be praying for us Tuesday. We'll be back on Friday. Let the Spirit of God move mightily. Amen. And Brother Chris, and then y'all know we got another preacher in this house. And y'all be praying, me and Brother Gary. And every time I've asked Brother Gary to preach, I know 10 times, maybe more than that. And every time our schedules are conflicting. But we believe God. Did we already ask you about when we're going to Haiti? Is your schedule full then? Well, then what we're going to do is here, we're just going to turn it over to you. And man, I'm just going to sit through it. I'm gonna bear it, brother. I'm going to bear it. Amen. I've heard Brother Gary preach. Always brings a great word. And so we're going to have Brother Gary to preach in here before long also. And we'll get him in here. I'm so excited that in this church, I see some young, on fire people for God. Amen. I do. Young, on fire people for God. I want y'all to know we love you. God bless you. Thank you for coming out tonight, Alfred, Marlene. Thank y'all for facing the storm tonight, man, going up there. I know you was busy today, having to drive 127 miles an hour to get over there, get everything picked up, get on that trailer. Then as they were going around the corners and holding on with Brother Chris, trying not to throw you off the back and sing and everything with the truck going through and everything, and then coming back up here. So thank you. God bless you. Everybody that helped out on the float, once again, thank you. God bless you. And if y'all want to tonight, hang around. There's some chili and just do a little bit of fellowshipping. Amen. Yes. Father, bless that chili. Multiply it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless y'all.